Well, but I've got several proposals. Number one, I'd like to apply the Buffett rule on anybody at a million or more, so that we avoid what Warren Buffett rightly points out as the anomaly and the unfairness of, you know, he paying a lower tax rate than his secretary. And then I have a 4% surcharge on top of income at $5 million because I want to try to stop the gaming of the system. We're going after where we think the real money is. As we say, follow the money. And the tax system has been, in my view, not effective in capturing money from people who are very successful, and we need to do a better job.
The Worth Report, featuring Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Too few Americans are working. Too many jobs are being shipped overseas, and too many middle-income families cannot make ends meet. This plan directly meets these challenges and the challenges also of business. It will provide major tax relief for middle-income and for most other Americans. There will be a major tax reduction. It'll simplify the tax code. It'll grow the American economy at a level that it hasn't seen for decades. And all of this does not add to our debt or our deficit.
This is The Worth Report. Now, here are your hosts, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright.
Good Saturday, and welcome to The Worth Report. If it's Saturday morning, it's The Worth Report. I'm your host, Nick Wharton, along with Glenn Wright, founder and president of Worth Financial. Each week, we'll bring you news that you can immediately use to manage your financial planning and offer commentary on local, national, and global events that affect your ability to sustain your financial future. Glenn Wharton, we are really heating up in this presidential election, guy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. And you are exactly right, Nick. I'm telling you, it's crazy. I mean, these... the RNC and the DNC conventions, they were different. They were really interesting.
They really were. You know, aside from what anyone thinks politically and what your political ideals are, there clearly was a distinct tone and tenor coming out of each convention. I thought that there was a lot of anger communicated in the Republican convention, really focused anger. And then, of course, in the Democratic convention, there seemed to be a different sense of optimism. Whether or not you agreed with the policies and the thoughts that came out of it, there was a sort of an upbeat sense of optimism. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know what? I agree. I watched them. But what real practices are you going to bring? What are you really bringing to the table? You're talking about all of these different things you're going to do.
Right.
Like, I watched the Democratic convention. All of these different things were mentioned. You know, every ethnicity.
Oh, yes. You noticed that. Yes.
Was definitely certainly brought out. But it's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the pure economics of it.
Yes, it is.
Because, you know, if you want to increase education, it's going to cost money to do that. If you want to allow for kids, everyone to go to college for free, then it's going to cost money to do that. Who's going to pay for those things?
That's right.
So nothing has really been really talked about in a real strategic way to break it all down.
Right.
So that's why I'm so happy about what we're doing, what we've been doing every week, and what we're doing today.
Yeah, I think that's true, Glenn. In fact, what it was also very obvious in both conventions and what we live with on a sort of regular basis is the sort of anger coming from this sort of American politics.
Oh, man, absolutely.
It's really intense. To some degree, there are those who say, well, we're just so angry, we're just going to vote for this candidate and forget about, you know, the issues you're talking about. We're just angry. We want change. But I've also learned that everyone sometimes, people may want change, but they want it to be, you know, obvious and familiar, which really doesn't make sense.
That's right.
Because at the end of the day, you do need skilled individuals presiding over what is a very complicated government, and mm-hmm. that's important.
Mm-hmm.
So today, the issue that seems to get so much attention is tax policy. Both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump both espouse very distinct and different tax policies. Today, we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton's. In the previous show, we talked about Donald Trump. So,
you know what, Nick? Hmm. In fact, you know, I think we need to give our listeners just a little recap of some of the things that we talked about.
It's a great idea.
In the previous show for Donald Trump. So
excellent.
He's really, what he wanted to do was bring four tax brackets to the table. So really minimize the tax code. It's supposed to help everybody. But so it starts at 0% because many Americans don't pay any income tax.
Right.
You know, they get all their money back. It goes from 0, 10, 20, and 25%. The top income tax rates, however, aren't currently. They are $400,000 if you're single, $450,000 if you're married. Okay? He's looking to lower those rates to $150,000 if you're single and $300,000 if you're married. So the challenge of what I found here is, just as a recap, is that the upper middle class,
right,
the people who are really trying to go to the next level financially, are really going to could possibly pay higher tax rates based upon his code.
I see.
So so think about the business owner, which Donald Trump talks about all the time. That person who has active income, they're working, they get an income. We're not talking about investment income. Then that particular person could possibly pay a higher tax rate to do that. That's the person who may make $120,000, $150,000, $180,000 doing well, but wants to really build his business, he might not be able to do that. The person who really gains are people like, guess what, him.
That's true.
People who have investments, real estate investments, investments in the market, then he looks to lower what's called the capital gains rate. So and really eliminate the net investment income surtax. So again, for people like him, long story short, lowers the tax liability, lowers the income. So if you make $150,000 and you're single, or if you make $150 million, your income tax rate is the exact same. The rate. Your rate would be the same because you would be at the higher income bracket.
Fascinating. So it's amazing. And so even with the estate tax, it appears Hillary Clinton is proposing to increase the top estate tax rate to 45%.
Right.
And lowers the estate tax exclusion to $3.5 million. Then you contrast that with Donald Trump. He wants to eliminate the estate tax completely. Now, how are we to view that?
Yeah. You know what? That's right. So he certainly wanted to get rid of it on the estate tax. She wants to increase it dramatically, even. I think that's pretty interesting. I don't think it's going to pass for
right.
what she really wants to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
But she's really trying to set a mark on putting it out there. But the truth is, she's going to have to raise revenue to do all the things she
sure.
wants to do.
Sure.
The key for her is she's looking to basically keep things the same. From income tax break rates, raise them slightly, but also add a 4% surtax on income over $5 million. So if you make over $5 million, you're gonna pay more in tax. Okay, but what about the people again who are in the same situation as what we just mentioned with Donald Trump? The person who's just trying to go to the next level financially
sure. mm-hmm.
needs to hire that next employee,
right?
And doesn't see how to do it. Well, her tax code isn't going to help that person either, because the tax rates are still going to go up marginally as well. And if having an office in Detroit, being from Detroit, there have been a lot of investments in real estate. People have bought four or five years ago,
mm-hmm.
3 years ago, 2 years ago, and now they're selling those properties, making a profit. Under Donald Trump, then they're going to win just like they are now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pay a reduced
mm-hmm.
income rate called the capital gains rate. But under Hillary Clinton, this is one of the major things that she's looking to change. So instead of having because currently it's 12 months before a short-term capital gain turns into a long-term capital gain.
I see.
Okay. So short-term means if you get a short-term capital gain, let's say you buy a home
mm-hmm.
for $100,000 and you flip it, meaning you sell that home and you make a profit of $20,000. Let's say you do that in 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a short-term capital gain.
I see.
That $20,000 is now treated as ordinary income,
as
if it was W-2 income.
Of course.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, if you, let's say you buy that property in January, You sell it in January of the following year. Mm-hmm. Now, for the same amount of money, now that $20,000 is considered long-term capital gains. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, you pay a much reduced income tax rate.
Okay.
So, what she's looking to do is say, hey, for that person who's done it in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years,
right,
you're going to pay short-term mm-hmm. rates for mm-hmm. all of those years. Mm-hmm. Now, it won't go back down into a lower rate until after 5 years.
I see.
Okay. And even that rate has gone up from 20 to 23.6%. So she's looking to change that. That will truly change how business is done on Wall Street. It will also change how business is done in the real estate markets.
So there's this conversation that has gone on between both the candidates about these unscrupulous hedge fund managers, you know, this conversation mm-hmm. about. So what's that about? How are we to look at that? This is a banking town, by the way.
It is. And the truth of the matter is they're not changing the code. As we look at it, we're talking about Hillary Clinton's plan. The code isn't changing. In fact, there are some benefits, some revenues that will be raised for a lot of good causes that will come from this. Right. But mm-hmm. however, the code itself doesn't change. Right now, it's over 88,000 pages. Under her mandate, it would be well over 100,000.
Wow.
Okay. So what does that mean? The tax code could be 400 pages, but it's not because they're loopholes.
Yes.
So the hedge fund managers, they're going to, if they have the right people, the right resources, they're going to get those loopholes. They're going to find that they're going to find work with the right people to find out the loopholes so they can reduce their tax liability. No one is really talking about taking away all the loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just talking right. about the plain vanilla for most Americans. But when you talk about the hedge fund managers, Wall Street, all those things, there's nothing in Hillary Clinton's plan that talks about really those changes besides they're paying 4% more if they make over $5
million. Wow. Well, you know, what's interesting about this whole conversation on taxes is that only one candidate has revealed their own income taxes. So that would why would someone not want to share their personal income taxes?
Well, you know, Nick, if you follow the money, you'll find out a lot about a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Donald Trump's taxes are very complex. There are a lot of moving parts. And he has the best people around him to use the code to his advantage. That's got to be the reason why.
Right. And I think that's probably a benefit. And I think he's talked about it as a real value added, you know, to his business management, you know, acumen to be mm-hmm. able to use a tax code in a way that supports his, you know, his seeking profits mm-hmm. in the business one. He's done quite well.
That's right.
But you'd think, though, sharing that information would be part of also a sense of transparency. And, you know, of course, you wouldn't want to create policies that you yourself won't want to follow.
Right. That's true. I'm just thinking about, and I know Bernie Sanders is no longer in the race, but his tax rates were incredible. I mean, I'll say that in a very high way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 37% was the lowest bracket, all the way to the highest one being 52%.
Right.
That's on a federal level.
Wow.
So if you live in California, then you're paying we had to make $10 million to hit that level.
Right.
But you're literally paying 65 to 67% of your money under that plan. So
right.
That was it. And all the other tax brackets actually went up by at least 2% as well.
Right. So he, too, had four brackets that he was proposing.
Yeah. Yeah. Much higher. Now, a lot of things were going to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, education, mm-hmm. all these things would be covered. Mm-hmm. So really looking a lot closer to Europe compared to how we've been accustomed to. So, but that, mm-hmm. that would have been very interesting. It would have changed many things in our economy.
Yeah, it's true. In fact, you know, Bernie was able to move Hillary Clinton in a whole range of public policy,
mm-hmm.
but not so much in the tax policy, it appears. She wasn't able to really impact him.
No.
Why do you think that is?
Well, again, you know, you follow the money, Nick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Both, all of these candidates have people, and I think it really comes down to true reform.
Yes.
That needs to be done. It costs so much money to run these campaigns. So because of that, you have to get the money from somewhere, and no one's giving away money for free. So these big corporations who are giving the money out, these large families who's making these huge donations, they want something for it. And you can see that when you read their tax codes on who it's going to benefit and who it's not.
Yeah.
When you look at, we talked about Donald Trump, which I know we're really focusing on Clinton, but he certainly wanted to lower corporate tax rates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, look at some of the largest donors, corporations. Hillary Clinton also wants to look at lowering corporate tax rates and keeping all the loopholes pretty much the same. What? So the issue really is, Nick, what are you really going to do to really make a difference? So let me go to this is from the Tax Policy Center.
Okay.
And they feel that she's going to raise revenue by $1.1 trillion over the first decade if she was actually able to get everything she wanted. But the question is, to what expense? You know, or at whose expense is it? Right. So it's going to help a lot of people, but in this plan, and I see this on both sides, who's really helping the middle class, the person that really wants to get there?
That was a question I really wanted to ask. You know, partly because it just seems so complicated to detangle this tax code. I think one of our shows you talked about, you know, how many pages of complications this is. And as a practical matter, how long would it take to sort of detangle this stuff? I mean, each of the candidates said, you know, at least Trump has said his first day in office, something like that, he would change it all. I mean, it just seems a little bit unrealistic, I guess.
Yeah.
And you have to have the House and the Senate, you have to vote on these things. I suppose you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you do. You do. And the first thing is to really look at personally, if you look into who you're going to vote for, look from an economic perspective, look at the tax code that they're bringing out, because that will show you what's really important to them,
and,
or who's really important to them and who's not as important. So people can talk all this talk, but what are you really going to do for me?
Right.
What type of change are you really going to bring? And how can you do those things?
So one of the policies that both candidates have talked about, perhaps Trump has probably talked about it initially more, was taxing companies that do business in the global arena and getting them to bring jobs back. I mean, what do you think about that? You can't help but recognize that all the products he makes has made are in other countries, number one. So let's just kind of put that to the side.
Absolutely.
But the whole idea of taxing American companies that do business in other countries to bring those jobs back.
It makes sense in certain areas, but in certain areas, you're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. There are certain jobs that have gone overseas that are just never coming back.
That's correct.
That is a fact. Who's going to pay for that? Because we still want to go to Walmart and still pay a dollar for our toothpaste or whatever. Right. Everything's coming from China, it seems like. So those jobs are probably not going to come back. However, there are certain manufacturing jobs that possibly can come back.
Right.
So you have to applaud the thought of being able to look at that and actually do something. So hopefully that actually happens. However, let's say that he gets everything he wants. Okay. Now, our inflation will definitely rise. Mm-hmm. Inflation will rise. Right. Who's going to pay for these things?
Yeah.
So that goes back to the minimum wage issue. If $7.25, is that the minimum wage? $7.25 now?
Well,
is it still $7.25?
Hey, picture that.
Yeah.
And both are talking, at least Hillary was talking $12. Bernie was talking about $15. Now Hillary's on the way to close to $15.
So,
and Trump is basically not interested in raising at all, which is interesting.
See, it is. So how are they, which $7.25 is not even a livable wage, nowhere close to it, how can they pay for things that are even more expensive?
Yeah.
I just don't get that. So it's about empowering the people
at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Yep. We'll just confirm with us. Yes. It is 725.
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. In North Carolina. So.
And California's already raised this minimum wage. Yeah, few states have already raised it.
They have.
They're way out in the front on this issue. They realize the importance of a livable wage.
Yeah, we need people to buy stuff.
Right, exactly.
So mm-hmm. we need people to buy stuff on a regular basis.
Right.
And so that's one way of accomplishing that. So that's something that no one's talking about. You can't keep everyone down at the lowest wages, but at the same time, reduce taxes alone mm-hmm. and also cause inflation, mm-hmm. right? So things become more expensive. So now you have people who are saving. The business owners under Trump, mm-hmm. under Trump's plan mm-hmm. would save.
Mm-hmm.
However, mm-hmm. how does right. that translate to trickling down
yeah.
to right. the people at the bottom?
Well, that's a great point, because the reality is that we are in an interconnected, interdependent world, right? And particularly in the United States, you know, small businesses, large businesses need government infrastructure, whether it's highways and roads, all of these things, airports, all of these public works, if you will, public throughways and freeways. We all need them in order mm-hmm. to help commerce, you know, to happen. And government is an engine to help to make that office. Not to mention regulating safety becomes an important factor.
How we're going to pay for these?
Right.
It costs money.
Right.
Exactly. So I ask clients when mm-hmm. I meet with them, each mm-hmm. one of them, where do you feel like tax rates are going in the next 20 years?
Right.
Do you think it's going to go up, down, or stay the same?
Right.
Everybody. I mean, it is 100%. And it doesn't matter. We have clients all over the country, and they all say the same thing. They're going to go up. So let's say that that's you, listener, and you agree with that. Let me give you one recommendation of something you may want to consider. One would be, if you are putting money into a 401k, I want you to think about this, because I want you guys to be proactive in everything that you're doing. So if we all agree that tax rates will probably go up, if we read Hillary's or Bernie's tax plan, we can see that. And for even some people under Trump's plan, the tax rates can also go up. But if we feel that way, then this is one thing that you can do. If you're putting money into a 401k, you want to at least put the money up to the match. So if your company is matching dollar for dollar, you need to get that money. That's 100% return. However, you may not want to put more than that in there. And this is why. Let's say that you are making $65,000 a year, $70,000 a year, and your marginal tax, you have a couple kids, your marginal tax rate may be 12%. So if you put extra money into a 401k, you're only getting a 12% deduction. However, you could be paying money out later at a much higher rate. So you could get a 12% deduction to pay a 50% tax later on. That doesn't sound too good.
No, it doesn't.
So it's important to save and invest outside of retirement as well. Many economists feel that retirement plans are ticking time bombs, that the government is really allowing you to deduct the seed so they can tax the entire harvest. So if that's the case, then we need to be proactive. We need to save outside of that, especially if we're going to have the advantage of having low capital gains tax rates. Everybody should be able to receive them. Typically, only the wealthy do. However, if you are in the middle class, if you have any money that you can save, mm-hmm. you can save in a mutual fund as low as $25 to $50 a month and allow that money to grow and compound over time. And now you, once you make your gains with that, you'll pay a reduced rate on that money. And in some cases, you might not pay any income tax on that money. That's powerful. So this is the time to look to take advantage of these, because at some point in the future, these tax laws will change. And they're probably not going down.
They're going up.
Yeah. Another question I ask. President Obama raised the tax rate to 39.6%, the highest tax rate, 39.6%, okay, from President Bush, which was 35%. People were jumping off of buildings and, you know, acting up for that extra 4.6%. However, if you look historically, we're not at a very high tax rate compared to where we've been in the past. if you take the average of the last 100 years of our tax code, the highest tax rate right now is 39.6%. You take the average over the last 100 years, you want to take a guess on what that percentage would be?
Let's see, 58%.
You smart man. That's right. That's right. That's right.
I pay attention.
Yeah, yeah. He does pay attention. I was going to see if I could catch you on it.
No, I was
okay.
There.
Okay. But yeah, you're right, 58%. So there's certainly a lot of room for it to go up. So it's important, if you see that, you need to be proactive, look at some other opportunities where you can invest your money.
Well done. Well done.
At least somebody's listening. That's right, good. I appreciate
it. I'm listening very carefully. Man, this is a good show. This tax issue is not going away. It is a beast. It is an ongoing element that we just have to continue to struggle with. At the end of the day, we're going to have to pay taxes. And what else? Taxes and death, they say?
Taxes and death. Taxes and death. You're right. No, but I think looking at Hillary's plan, she's certainly sticking to her guns on the people in the upper echelon, like Warren Buffett, who recently spoke on her
behalf. Fascinated by Warren Buffett's
who
comments.
Who said that, you know, we need to pay more in taxes. Well, mm-hmm. She's giving him his opportunity.
That's right. He mentioned the Buffett rule. What's the Buffett rule?
What was it? Pay more in taxes?
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
exactly. Because he pays more.
Because his marginal tax rate is less than his secretary's. That's his quote he famously said. So the goal is to hopefully change that so he actually pays a little bit more in tax and because he feels like he can.
Fascinating.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It is amazing. Well, there's your news that you can use.
Yep. So
Len, this has been great talking with you. I'll see you again next week.
Always. Looking forward to it.
All right.
This has been The Wirth Report with your host, Nick Wharton and Glenn Wright. To learn more about Wirth Financial and to speak to one of their advisors, call 704-731-0121. That's 704-731-0121. Or log on to worthadvisors.com. That's worthadvisors.com.